to blame the high rates of black prisoners as the result of poverty, racial segregation, unequal education opportunities, and the presumed realities of the drug market that most drug dealers are not white. When the war on drugs was announced in 1982, crack cocaine was not a widely used drug. A few years later, the use of this drug had spread, and the Reagan administration publicized its emergence to build support for the war. The media spread images of black drug dealers and users. One result of this was general speculation and conspiracy theories that the war on drugs was designed to destroy black people in the U.S. This idea is partially true. The CIA later admitted that the guerrilla armies in Nicaragua and the organizations they supported were bringing drugs into the U.S. Furthermore, the CIA blocked efforts to investigate illegal drug networks, as these networks were helping the CIA fund its covert efforts in Nicaragua. The implications of the drug war are not notable. The number of prisoners in the U.S. jumped from 300,000 to 2 million, giving the U.S. the highest rate of incarceration in the world. This incarceration's most striking feature is its racial dimension. Not even South Africa, in the midst of apartheid, has as high of a percentage of black prisoners as the U.S. does now. These statistics are more astounding when put in perspective. The use of drugs was declining when the drug war was implemented. These facts led Alexander to conclude that the drug war and the penal system in general are a form of social control, one that targets black citizens. They are the new version of Jim Crow. If the system continues its course, 1 in 3 young black men will serve time in prison. Some cities already have more than half of the young black men population in prison or jail or on probation or parole. This system came about and will continue because too many Americans are racially indifferent. They simply do not care enough to incite change. Chapter 1. This chapter reviews the history of racism in the U.S. and how the country implemented a racialized social control system. It covers slavery and Jim Crow to give the background for how the U.S. reached its current state, how legally endorsed racism seemed to end but actually reappeared in different forms. Historians tend to agree that Jim Crow was inevitable following the end of slavery. Regrettable, but unavoidable, considering the racism and the political dynamics of the time. Alexander warns that there are exceptions to every rule. Just as there were free blacks during the time of slavery, there are black people now who have overcome the system of racial caste. We may have a black president, but that does not mean that racial inequality no longer exists in the country. Slavery, based on race, is a relatively new concept, having begun in the last few centuries with European imperialism. Race emerged in America as a means of justifying the extermination of American Indians and reconciling chattel slavery with the ideas of freedom espoused by whites in the new colonies. Originally, indentured servitude was the dominant form of cheap labor, and in this system, both blacks and whites struggled against a common enemy, the rich white planter. Demand for labor among plantations grew, however, leading to the end of black indentured servants and the beginning of slavery based on race. European immigrants were thought to be poor candidates for slavery because they were in short supply and because planters wanted more European immigrants to come to the continent and help expand